This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this.
You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
Alex Hundert is a community organizer, land defender, and activist, currently serving a 20-month prison sentence for his role in building a resistance to the G20 summit in Toronto in 2010, and his work highlighting the colonial oppression and capitalist exploitation rooted in the Canadian state experiment. The following is a piece entitled Solidarity Against Austerity and was written for the September 2012 Quebec Student Strike edition of the Peak magazine from Guelph, Ontario. Alex continues his work while in jail by blogging about his experiences and exposing the arbitrary punishment and poor treatment of himself and fellow inmates as he is tossed around the prison industrial complex. You can read Alex's other work on Narrative Resistance, which is his website, found at alexhundert.wordpress.com. You can also read it on the rabble.ca podcast network and at toronto.mediacoop.ca. Hope you enjoy it.
Solidarity against austerity is surely one of the more meaningful rallying cries of our times. The age of austerity is an era in which we will experience some of the most ruthless incarnations of modern capitalism. In order to keep the system as profitable as possible for those who already have the most power, those without will be pushed further and further into the margins, making people ever easier targets for exploitation and exclusion. The age of austerity will see worldwide cuts to social spending, healthcare, education, and all public services, while markets will continue to be deregulated, rights and protections eroded, and ever harsher attacks on those who dissent or simply do not conform to dominant norms and identities. For those who are not amongst those on top of this exploitative and dominating system, now is a time to build unity. Because the future, as it is envisioned by the architects of austerity, is one that has us cast as expendable. But we can fight back. I wrote this from a prison cell where I sit for having organized protests against the G20 meetings in Toronto in the summer of 2010, when the so-called leaders of the world's richest economies met to formally commit to 10 to 20 years of a global austerity agenda. I sit here writing as students in Quebec and across the country, we're about to return to classes after having rocked the province with one of the most impressive student movements of our lifetimes. The day of my sentencing, I and many others in attendance wore the now iconic Red Square in solidarity with that student movement, a movement against the raising of tuition, which is a cut to the accessibility of education, an austerity cut. One of the things I have thought about many nights as I've sat right here in this cell, writing about the system, is how appropriate it would be for us to build real solidarity between prisoners and students, for it is a common future that we share. Funding cuts are a structural weapon, and both students and prisoners are under attack. Inside prisons, the impacts of austerity will be felt tremendously. First, cuts to community services, welfare, subsidized housing, mental health services, drug treatment, and other essential public spending will see more and more people forced to depend on extra legal sources of income and shadow economies. This will mean that people who otherwise would not will find themselves having turned to quote-unquote crime. Inside the prison, cuts will mean more overcrowding, more lockdowns, less programs, and less access to basic rights and so-called privileges. And while the new federal omnibus crime bill, C-10, will cause total prison spending to increase as more people will be locked up and for longer sentences, austerity will see spending per inmate continue to go down, creating ever worse conditions in the jails, prisons, and penitentiaries. Most prisoners, like most students, are young people. The largest age demographic in prisons, like in universities, is 18 to 24 years of age, or so it seems from the inside. Those young people who end up in universities and those who end up in prisons are facing a common future, and many of the austerity cuts that have already begun are targeted at both. And while the impact of those cuts will disproportionately affect those already in prison and communities they come from, predominantly people of color and people from poor communities, one of the things austerity will do, while increasing the gap between the rich and the poor, will be to make more and more communities into targets. The notion of a united fight against austerity implies refusing to allow any communities to be targeted as expendable, or for exploitation, or for criminalization. It requires solidarity, and it requires fundamental structural change. One of the most shocking things I have learned about prison populations, something that should have been obvious, is the ubiquity of the lack of education amongst prisoners. One-third of prisoners in Canada have not finished elementary school, and two-thirds have what is qualified as low literacy levels. A telling symptom of the pervasiveness of this pattern is the fact that despite the minimum age of adult inmates being 18 years old, there is no opportunity to acquire college or university credits in Ontario jails and prisons. Only high school credits or GEDs, depending on the institution. People in prison, for the most part, are people whose paths have been fraught with enough systemic and structural barriers and oppressive impediments that so-called higher education has never been an opportunity that they would ever gain access to. At the heart of the battle against increased tuition is the struggle for access to education. This struggle is rooted much deeper in society than at the level of university funding, and is actually one in which both students and prisoners are equally embedded. Hopefully, students recognize that making education truly accessible requires so much more than lower or even free tuition. It requires eliminating the societal and structural barriers faced by poor people, by people of color, by disabled people, and others. It also requires changing and diversifying what we teach and how we teach it. Solidarity in the fight for accessible education is not just about support for the student movement. It is about the student movement joining the fight against the structural barriers and societal factors that prevent people from accessing the opportunity to become students in the first place. And it is also about all of us uniting to cause fundamental changes in the way we organize our communities and what we choose to qualify as worthwhile education. In Toronto, we are seeing public elementary schools in already targeted neighborhoods, Jane and Finch and Parkdale, for example, being closed due to cuts to education funding. These are racialized and poor communities being disproportionately targeted by austerity cuts that make access to the opportunity to gain university education ever more unlikely. Under our current system, the less likely a young person is to be able to finish high school, go to university, or get job training, the more likely they are to end up in prison. This should be obvious. At the same time, Bill C-10 explicitly targets both youth and migrants, ensuring that more and more young people of color will end up in prisons instead of in schools. Another obvious example can be seen by looking at Indigenous First Nation communities across the country. In most First Nations, where the country's founding treaties and its constitution oblige the federal government to fully fund education for Indigenous peoples in their communities, education funding and services are woefully inadequate. This does not even begin to speak of all the other types of treaty-mandated funding that federal and provincial governments are failing to pay to First Nations, nor of the devastating impacts of centuries of ongoing colonialism, residential schools, and the ongoing destruction and plunder of Indigenous territories. It is no coincidence that Indigenous people are underrepresented in Canadian universities, but overrepresented in Canadian prisons. It is also no coincidence that Indigenous people are being and will be disproportionately impacted by austerity cuts to government spending. Solidarity with and real support for Indigenous people's struggles remains a necessary cornerstone of any meaningful struggle for social justice in this country. In Ontario, the current government's strong arming of teachers' unions is part of a broader attack on organized labor and part of the austerity agenda, as well as an attack on the quality of education for young people in this province. And similarly, OPSU, public sector union that represents provincial prison guards, will surely face the same treatment when they renegotiate guards' contracts later this year. Less shifts for guards and less guards per shift means early lockdowns and less structural flexibility in scheduling for prisoners. Remote teachers' working conditions are students' learning conditions. Guards' working conditions are prisoners' living conditions, whether anti-prison activists want to admit it or not. In Quebec, Bill 78 was passed by the provincial government in an attempt to criminalize and disrupt the student movement. The criminalization of dissent is not unique to students. And when we define dissent broadly as acting or being in non-conformance with dominant ideology or identity, we cannot recognize that dissent, by its very nature, is always criminalized. People of color, indigenous people, poor people, disabled people, migrants, and anyone else whose very identity is a challenge against dominant norms have always been criminalized by this system. This will only increase and harshen as the age of austerity wears on. One of the lessons I will take home from my experiences around the G20, the year and a half of planning prior, followed by what will be more than a year of jail time after, is the common experience of resistance that people shared on the streets that weekend in June 2010. There was a semblance of solidarity there in that riot shared by angry, disaffected, and alienated young people, whether they were the students and activists who I met at workshops and planning meetings leading up to the G20, or young inmates I've met in prison since, so many of whom were on the streets or supported what they saw happening there. Obviously, the G20 protests were far from ideal in many ways, but it is the only protest that I have ever organized, and every inmate I've ever met has known about. And almost without exception, they seem to support the battle against the system that was in effect on the streets of Toronto that week. The fight against austerity is just that, a battle against the system. Recognizing the totality of that system and building solidarity amongst all of those who are targeted by it, I think, is a big part of a potentially winning strategy. Solidarity with students, solidarity with prisoners, solidarity in the streets and institutions, and solidarity against austerity.
If you're trying to smash this day, clap your hands. If you're trying to smash this day, clap your hands. We should all know our rights, so here's the song we tried to write. If you're trying to smash this day, clap your hands. If you're arrested by the cops, shut your mouth. If you're arrested by the cops, shut your mouth. If you really love your friends, then you gotta understand. If you're arrested by the cops, shut your mouth. Just a birthday and your name and where you live. Just a birthday and your name and where you live. If you're arrested by the pigs, it's all you gotta give. Just a birthday and your name and where you live. Call a lawyer once they got you in the shop. Call a lawyer once they got you in the shop. They say they make a stop, but never trust a cop. Call a lawyer once they got you in the shop. You might have to spend the night, but it's okay. You might have to spend the night, but it's okay. You don't have to sign conditions. It's your freedom you'll be missing. You might have to spend the night, but it's okay. Have a party with your friends and you get out. Woo-hoo! Have a party with your friends and you get out. You can celebrate release with a joint or a feast. Have a party with your friends and you get out. Learn more about your rights when you can. Learn more about your rights when you can. And in case you get arrested, you should always have a plan. So learn more about your rights when you can.